From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, it's time to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Alan Cairns with you, welcoming you to the broadcast, as once again we turn to Colossians chapter 1, this week to verses 4 and 5, as we think of basic Christianity. Basic Christianity. Colossians 1 is an important chapter, and this is certainly a very, very important part of the chapter. I think I'll have to say that about just every text that we look at in this series of studies. Before we come to this text for today, we start with our daily devotional Bible study from Acts chapter 2, verse 37, on the subject of effective evangelism, and then we'll have the thought for the day from the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. Effective evangelism, Acts 2, 37 says, they were pricked in their heart. The breaking of the hearts of the Jews who assembled to hear Peter's sermon at Pentecost was as much a miracle as the gift of tongues. Those who listened to the apostles' words had just recently demonstrated their determination to hold to their own self-righteousness and had callously demanded the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, however, there was conviction, conversion, confession of Christ, continuance in faith, and consecration to God. How did it come about? What preceded this pricking of hearts is most instructive. There was clearly the exercise of prayer. If we compare Acts 1 verse 4 with Acts 2 verse 1, we find that the church had assembled to wait on God in prayer. It was this supplication with earnestness and expectancy that brought blessing upon the church and made such an impact on the hearts of the unconverted. That raises for us the question, do we desire the same blessing? It supplies the same answer. Then let us pray. For those who thus waited, there was then the experience of power. When they ministered, it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Without prayer before God, we are without power before men. This power is promised to those who pray in Luke 11:13. As C.H. Spurgeon once said, one bright blessing which prayer brings is an anointing from the Holy One. And then, of course, there was the exaltation of a person. Peter's message was full of Christ, his person, his passion, his power, and his pardon. Nothing more and nothing less than Christ. It was this Christ-centered preaching by Philip that God mightily owned and blessed in Samaria. And Paul's determination to preach Christ crucified resulted in notorious characters being transformed and rebirth in the city of Corinth. Nothing can break the heart like the sight of the crucified Savior. As Zechariah 12 verse 10 says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. Let us pray for grace to present Christ to lost souls with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Only then will their hearts be pricked. Only then can our evangelism be effective. William Booth said, some like to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn them.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay.
Hear, O hear him calling, calling now for thee.
So far from his presence, come today.
Hear his loving voice calling still, calling still, calling now for thee,
calling now for thee.
Weary prodigal, come,
weary prodigal, come, calling now.
Come,
weary prodigal, come.
I announced at the top of the broadcast, today we commence a look at the subject of basic Christianity from Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We will be paying attention to the words faith, love, and hope as they frequently appear together, and we'll see that these are the essential graces of the gospel. We'll speak of the faith as foundational grace, love to the saints as relational grace, and the hope laid up in heaven as the inspirational grace. So that's the roadmap for this week of studies and Let the Bible Speak. Let's commence at the beginning of the subject, basic Christianity. Returning this morning to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I should add about this afternoon, Mr. Farr was speaking to me last night, and he said, since they're at church, I think he's going to stay around and go from door to door with a begging bowl, because they have no power out at their place, and he'll go and say a crumb here and a crumb there, and they'll be well fed. But no, he had the very good idea, since some are going to be at the church after this service, good idea to use the time to give out the invitations. And he said maybe these brass musicians could come and walk up and down the streets with us. So Tim, you've got a few good brass musicians right behind you in that next seat, so put a noose round their neck, and they'll put a noose round other brass necks. Well, no, brass players' necks, and we'll have a real good band there before we're through, and that will be a way to get the people interested and receiving the invitations. We're reading just the opening verses of Colossians chapter 1, the first few verses of the chapter, verses 1 through 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. I will want today to direct your attention particularly to what we find in verses 4 and 5 of this opening chapter of Colossians. But first, let's take a moment to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this word of the truth of the gospel. And we pray that it will be heard today with clarity and with faith. We pray, our God, that thou wilt still us in thy presence and speak to us by thy Spirit, applying the word to every heart. Lord, speak to preacher and listener alike, and grant that in everything Jesus Christ may be glorified. O Lord, may the word of the Lord have free course today. May it run like a mighty torrent from the throne of God to the hearts of men and women. And O Lord, make thy word effectual in many lives, saving the lost, encouraging, edifying, leading onwards those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Visit this church with revival. Quicken us, O God, we pray, that the gifts and graces we find described here in thy word may be abundantly evident
in the life of this congregation of thy people. And to thee we'll give the praise and the honor and the glory. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Verses 4 and 5 of Colossians 1, Paul says that he prayed always for the church in Colossae. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Getting good news from Colossae about the success of the gospel and the establishment of a good, strong Church of Christ in that place was a shot in the arm to the Apostle Paul. He was lying a prisoner in Rome, cut off from his work, cut off from his passion to preach Christ to the Gentile nations, getting news of difficulties here and there in the churches, discouraged no doubt on many fronts. And now he gets a shot in the arm because of the good work of God that Epaphras, one of Paul's converts in Ephesus, had seen done as he carried on the apostles' ministry in Asia Minor. Seems that from Colossae, the word spread out and other cities around about were reached, churches were established, and the name of Jesus Christ was greatly glorified. Now it is true that though there was much to encourage Paul, the church in Colossae was far from perfect. And indeed it was facing at that time a dire battle. It was one reason why Epaphras went to Rome to see the apostle. Because of the corrupting influences and the threat being posed by a specific form of Judaistic apostasy. But despite the challenge and the threat, Paul could look with joy on the Colossians, for this was a church that was a good church, and it was well worth rescuing from its foes. What particularly thrilled the heart of the apostle, I believe, was the evidence that the Colossian believers had truly grasped the essence of the gospel. Thus, throughout this epistle, you'll find that Paul could expound or appeal from the basis of some great theme of the gospel. In the knowledge that the Colossians would respond, they'd be able to follow him. Now, it's very easy for me to say that. But when I tell you that that kind of reasoning is almost entirely absent from modern evangelicalism, modern fundamentalism, and a large part of the modern reform or reformation movement, that kind of argument is conspicuous by its absence. Why? Because we live in a day when people have learned a little narrow angle on the gospel, and that has been represented as the whole gospel. And any time you focus on one tiny feature, make that into the whole picture, you always end up with a caricature. I got an example of that on Friday night. We were out with some of the young people. They were what, the juniors and seniors. And they were having their get together. They couldn't get together without me. Yeah, that means I wouldn't allow them. So out we went. I took some pictures. Congregation was so kind as to provide me with the best possible camera that you can have, marked almost 26 years of being here. I told Brad the camera's wonderful. The pictures will not be one bit better than usual because the cameraman's the same dumb non-photographer as ever. But I took a picture, and just coming into the shot, there was the side of a young man's face. I'm not going to name him publicly this morning. I may later, but not at the moment. And as I zoomed in, after the picture was taken, I could isolate everything else, and all I have got filling the screen is a mouth. And at 8 megapixels per picture, you can practically, if he were taking tonsillitis, you could see it actually beginning to grow. It's that quick, it's that sharp, you see? So here's this mouth. Now, if I were to publish that and say, name the young fella, this is so-and-so, I think, and he's smiling because he's glad that I'm gracious, I think that he would be somewhat miffed. That's a caricature. That's what's happening to the gospel. People take one little thing, come to Jesus and he'll forgive your sins. It's not the gospel, by the way. That is the result of the gospel. But it's not the gospel. But that's taken to be the whole story, so that most people now do not understand what the gospel is. And so when a preacher would come and take the gospel or some great themes of the gospel and from that argue to how Christians ought to live, in most places they look blankly at him. Or they say, we understand that when they haven't a clue in the world what's going on. That was not so in Colossae. These were new Christians. Just a few years was this church in operation by this time. And yet the apostle could go to some of the wondrous truths of the gospel, argue therefrom, and these people were able to follow him. So that's what he does throughout this epistle. Now he starts off in chapter 1 by thanking the Lord that in these believers he finds proof of their reception and their practice of what I'll call basic Christianity. You notice the use of the words faith and love and hope. Now those are three things that are frequently brought together. You'll find that they stand together in the New Testament revelation. And any time you observe Christians, professing Christians, showing faith and love and hope, you should give the Lord thanks. Paul certainly did, for they are the essential graces of the gospel. I want us to think of these this morning in order, and I'll try to do so as simply and briefly as possible. First of all, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the foundational grace. In the New Testament, all Christianity, all Christian experience commences with faith in Christ. Until there is that faith in Christ, there is no Christianity whatsoever. That is the commencing point. By grace are you saved through faith. How does a man get saved? Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.